News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. By Monterey Asset Management, for your real estate investments. And by Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria at 4017 North Mesa. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are we here on the radio again? It's been a while. Turn that microphone on for that young lady over there.
Hello.
Life in the Fast Lane, Melissa Sargent, how you be?
I'm alive and well.
We survived into the new year. It's
yes,
the ninth already. I missed the second. That was kind of fun. But
I can't believe we're already into the new year.
You guys survived well without me. That's cool. And the thing is, the history of El Paso continues, whether we like it or not. So we're going to deal with it. And this is a radio show people talk about. It's like, what are these guys doing? What they're doing is exposing El Paso history for the leading subject that it should be in our conversation about what is El Paso. Because outside of El Paso, I lived out for a while. You're from somewhere else.
Yes.
You come here and you realize, oh, this place has a reputation. Well, let's improve it.
It's got some really cool history. I mean,
but that's what we need to do.
And I wish more people that lived here understood it sometimes, but I think they're getting there.
Well, I think we're going to help with that because I think we're getting to where this is important here because the economic development of El Paso could depend upon what happens with our history and how you treat it. And when they figure that out, that'll be a big deal because that's money involved. And as I heard earlier this morning in a conversation, follow the money, right?
Yes.
So here we are. Today we're going to follow the history and end on 690 KTSM as always, but there's another place.
You can go to KTSM Radio and click on the Listen Live button so you can listen on your computer, or even better is download the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone and also for your tablet, and you take us anywhere you go with us. We can be heard all over the world now.
My phone is not quite that smart, but it did work.
Yeah.
I can get that to work.
Mine's smarter than I am, so.
Well, as we always say, Texas history begins in El Paso. Today's another day to prove that. We've got trivia questions coming up, and we got a couple of videos that you can pick from, or we have a full complement, I think, of food coupons in the new year.
So always.
You got your Pepe's. We're going to go to Pepe's today, by the way. We have lunch after the show.
That'll be good.
And the other one is?
You've got the one for Tosca.
So there we are.
Stone Oven Pizzas.
Oh, Six Guns Awards. You got an award last year. I just want to mention it. I don't think we made a big deal, enough deal out of it.
Well, yeah. I kind of got ahead of the boat. We weren't supposed to say anything. But we got, for Six Guns of Shady Ladies, we got Best of the West as reenactors. And we split the award with Nevada Gunfight Group, too. So it was, we've hit that I don't know how many times now, five or six times as the best reenactment group in the country and maybe the world. But we had to share with Nevada this time. So we got to build up our game and get more out there.
Well, you do very well what you guys do. Also, the other thought to bring to people is that the, like I said, we're going to go to Pepe's for lunch today. Mm-hmm. But don't forget Tosca. Tosca's a good restaurant down the road here. Now, we need to turn our attention to a couple of other things. You also did a reenactment of some nature this week out at Fort Bliss. You do these entertainment things as Six Guns, right?
Well, yeah. Six Guns Shady Ladies is available for business as well as personal parties and
Do you do weddings?
Things. We've done weddings.
Have you really?
We've done a wedding from England. It was a lot of fun, too.
A reenactment gunfight at a wedding. Now, that's not, maybe in some parts of the country that's normal.
Yeah, and it wasn't a shotgun wedding either.
Oh, real bullets.
No, but what we did this week is, and I apologize, I cannot remember the event, and I'm sure Bernie will call and remind me what it is.
Well, just went out there.
It was an event out at Fort Bliss at the Centennial Club, and it was a big ball that they were having out there, and all the big wig generals were there. Do you remember what that was, John? Did you know
we
about
have
that?
A guest in here. What a coincidence for talking about Fort Bliss.
And
John Hamilton is here. Good morning, John.
Good morning, sir.
And you were not at this party.
No, I don't think I was at that party.
Okay,
no.
It was brass everywhere. I mean, it was just brass. More
well, he's
brass.
Retired brass.
Yes.
You're retired brass, are you not?
A long time ago.
Well, John Hamilton, let's move on to John here because he's the Fort Bliss guy we want to talk with today and about and such. And because you have now, John Hamilton, you have now made it to the ranks of director of the museum.
Yes, I'm almost an army of one.
There you go. Because as you have told me,
I have an assistant, an able assistant, I may add.
What museum are we talking about here?
The 1st Armored Division and Fort Bliss Museum on Fort Bliss. It's in Building 1735 on Marshall Road. It is right next to Freedom Crossing. It is an old post exchange.
Yeah, so people should know where it is.
Yes.
And it's got these missiles and tanks out in front?
I have a V-2 rocket out front, and I had tanks and other vehicles out front, but they are moved to the north side of the building now.
Why?
Because we are going to bring in the bulldozers and the backhoes, and we are going to tear up the ground in front of the museum and redo the tank park, the 1st Armored Division Heritage Tank Park.
Well, it was just a parking lot. Now you're going to make it into something.
And it was a parking lot with a bunch of tanks sitting in it.
Yeah.
And it had the tanks and some other things out there, armored vehicles and a couple of aircraft, also referred to on occasion as that pile of junk. Not my words, someone else's.
It's historic junk, people. Come on.
But we are going to clean it up. We're going to put a pad out there so that we can have the vehicles on the pad. We're going to put better interpretive signs. We're going to light the artifacts. We are going to install some shelters and picnic tables.
Oh, great.
And once it is done, it will be very nice.
You're talking like a museum guy. You're calling them artifacts.
Yes.
As opposed to junk. Well, how do you move one of those things? Carefully.
Very careful.
I know you're going to say that. But
do you know that we got
the
377th Transportation Company out of the 142nd Combat Service Support Battalion that came out with 7 heavy equipment transporters, we got a 40-ton crane from the airfield, we got a wrecker and a forklift, and we moved all of those things from one side of the building to the other in one day.
Well, you guys, the Army can move mountains when it wants to.
And those transporters had a fabulous time, and kudos to them. They did a great job.
Now, you use those guys when you want to move it, and it's still good when you're done. But when the Army wants to move a mountain, it may not always be a mountain when you're done.
No, probably.
I've heard about this.
Possibly not.
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Oh, life goes on.
Yeah.
John Hamilton,
yes, sir.
You're here doing this thing here because we also said, hey, let's talk about the Buffalo Soldiers today, because it's a major part of our area history with the Army and the military. And so I got to thinking, well, what about the Buffalo Soldiers? I didn't think they were ever stationed here, but you corrected me before the program. When were the Buffalo, who are they, first of all, and when were they stationed here?
Buffalo Soldiers were African-American soldiers recruited by the Army to serve in the ranks. They were referred to as Buffalo Soldiers because this was a term that was applied to them from the Indians because their appearance resembled that of a buffalo, and also because their fighting spirit resembled that of a buffalo. And in fact, the 10th Cavalry Regiment, even today, still has the buffalo displayed on its distinctive unit insignia as part of its heritage.
So it still exists.
So, yes, the 9th and 10th Cavalry, of course, they're not solely African-Americans anymore.
Well, that was going to be a question I was going to bring
up. But the 9th and 10th Cavalry are still out there. The 24th and 25th Infantry Regiments are still out there, still on active service in the Army. And they have the heritage that goes back to this. And all of this, of course, we know that African-American soldiers in American military history go all the way back to Washington soldiers in the Revolutionary War. But in the Civil War, ultimately 180,000 or so black soldiers served for the Union Army. And of those, 33,380 of them died in action. There were 29 volunteer regiments. There were 130 conscripted African-American infantry regiments.
How do you conscript
a
slave?
Well, these were freedmen. These were people that were in the North, and these were former slaves who volunteered and who were conscripted to work for the Army. There were 13 regiments of heavy artillery. There were 10 batteries of light artillery, and there were 6 cavalry regiments, all of whom were African-American in the Civil War, and they performed with great distinction. So at the end of the war, the War Department decreed that there was an act in 1866 that authorized the establishment of 6 regiments of African-American soldiers, 4 of infantry, 2 of cavalry.
And so the history here is that this is a black unit, so to speak, from the Civil War era. Were they then just put right into the West?
It took them a while to do that, although, to be sure, after the Civil War, the first priority became defending the frontier, and within a couple of years, most of the Army, with the exception of the troops that were on occupation duty in the South, most of the Army was on the frontier. Most of it was in the West.
Well, yeah, and it's amazing how many ex-soldiers came out to be cowboys. You know,
oh, yes.
And did some serious ranching and capabilities out here that a lot of people don't know about with the Black Cowboy.
And and of course, a lot of those folks were soldiers. They were infantry there were originally four infantry regiments. They were, within a couple of years, they were consolidated into two, the 24th and 25th Infantry. And then there were the 9th and 10th Cavalry, and of course...
those are the famous ones, right?
And, they all are. When you look at their heritage, when you look at what they did...
Oh, the battles they fought.
And they were, a lot of them were long-standing volunteers. It is very interesting to look at the history of how these organizations were formed and how they were officered and led.
Well, that's my big question. As I understood it, it was usually a white West Point graduate who ran the unit. Am I correct?
When they selected the officers, all officers initially were to be white officers. But there were special criteria for the selection of these officers to command. They underwent a special examination before a board of officers who were appointed by – these people were appointed by the Secretary of War. The criteria for an officer to serve as a – In a black regiment where you had to have 2 years of active field service, 2 years of active field service in the Civil War, that means two-thirds of those that were supposed to be captain or above were to have served in one of the volunteer regiments in the Civil War and one-third from the regular Army. And so these people were carefully selected. Now, when they were offered the positions, a lot of them turned the position down. One gentleman by the name of George Armstrong Custer was offered a job as a lieutenant colonel, a squadron commander in the 9th Cavalry, and he turned it down. And that was probably actually better for the 9th Cavalry when you think about it.
Because he wouldn't be a nice guy about it necessarily? Or what?
Well, he took over the 7th Cavalry, and of course we know what happened to him at the Little Bighorn. But
not making good decisions.
I mean, he was a brash young man. And
we're going to come back to that battle because it compares to a battle that happened in the White Sands Missile Range. I think there's a comparison between Custer's last stand and the Battle of Embry-O Basin.
That's very interesting, yes.
Oh, because of what happened afterwards.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that a bit because that's one thing. By the way, we announced earlier in the week on Facebook that we were going to have this discussion. All of a sudden, there is posts all over the place about Buffalo Soldiers and about specifically that battle at Embry-O Basin. And that's with an H if you don't speak Spanish.
Right.
Embry-O Basin. And that was a fabulous history that went unknown for so long.
It's very interesting.
Oh, bizarre. And it's intact. That's the difference with Custer's place. So further discussion as we get into this today. But the Buffalo Soldiers at Fort Bliss, how did that work? Well, they were at Concordia?
By 1868, after the Civil War, when the Army reestablished a presence here in El Paso with the 15th Infantry, of course, they had been at McGoffinsville before. And as we know, the Confederates had evacuated McGoffinsville in 1862 and had pretty much burned most of the place. Some of it was still there, and the Army reestablished themselves in McGoffinsville. But by 1868, McGoffinsville was in pretty bad shape.
Wasn't there a big flood right there?
There
67?
Was. Yeah. Lot of it
and it
was
bosky around that area,
just,
too.
Yes. A lot of it was just washed away. So by March 1869, the Army established Camp Concordia by order of the Secretary of War.
A little higher above the river,
it's about 3 miles from the river.
Right, right.
Initially, the 15th Infantry was there. I'm sorry, the 38th, with the 15th Infantry was there, but the 38th Infantry arrived from Fort Bayard, and the 41st Infantry sent a company from Fort Davis. And they were consolidated into the 24th Infantry. So by March of 1869, Camp Concordia was then officially again Fort Bliss. And in 1869, there was a company of the 24th. 1870, there was a company of the 24th Infantry. In 1871, there was a company of the 25th Infantry and a troop of the 9th Cavalry Regiment.
How many people are we talking here?
No more than about 57 to 60 to 120.
Yeah,
it's a one
small
or two.
Is that an army answer, or what was that?
That's all there were.
People going in and out, flowing. It's ever flowing. I think with the military.
Yes.
Well, John, we got to take a break here. You know, we do that here on this radio show to afford ourselves. But a lot going on here. We're going to talk all kinds of things about the Buffalo Soldiers and around El Paso, because that's a history that a lot of people don't understand. And there's a current crop of Buffalo Soldiers, Melissa. We're going to talk about that. They ride hogs.
They ride motorcycles.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about these guys, too. In the meantime, let's give some stuff away. While we were introing John Hamilton, I went over and gave him a piece of paper and said, is this accurate? A trivia question.
Did we do it right?
Yes. Well, he said, yeah, it's close enough for government work. It's something like that, right?
Sure.
So we're going to go with it. So we have trivia questions. We got Pepe's food on the line first hour, right?
That's right. We have Pepe's and or...
Oh, DVDs. Yeah.
That's
Did
right.
you bring any in? Did we leave any under the tree left over?
No,
I got a couple here.
I gave
here.
Them all away.
All right, you did.
I'm generous.
All right, let's see, like a guy in the Wizard's Magic Box. All right, one that
comes digs into his little magic
bag.
Okay,
that one's
there.
Available there. Talk about that one.
We've got, let's see, Waco Tanks, which is an excellent movie. I mean, if you want to learn about some interesting history of El Paso, Waco Tanks is amazing.
I got History of Transportation also.
Ah.
So those are your options, but the current main prize we do for our restaurants is
a $20 gift certificate to Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant in Upper Valley.
You have that address handy? I don't think I put that on here, but it's a 6700 block.
It's across from the old swap meet up there.
Now that's how you would know.
That's how I always recognize it.
It's not far from
where
375 used to hit. Donovan.
Go 375 down to Donovan, turn left, and it'll be on your right-hand side just down.
Get up in the neighborhood and yell, Pepe! And we'll come out and let you in.
Google it. You can find it on Google Maps. There they are. So
I think we talked John Hamilton and going with us. So if you want to talk Buffalo Soldier history, you'll be available.
I shall
be
there.
At lunch. Okay,
indeed.
We can do that.
Or maybe even other military history.
There are other things we can talk about. So what the heck is the question here? We got these Fort Bliss questions ready to rock.
The first one we have is, the Fort Bliss Gate, now known as Buffalo Soldier Gate, was previously called what?
What did it used to be? And we can also talk about why it used to be named that. That's an interesting history right there. So what was that?
The Fort Bliss Gate, now known as the Buffalo Soldier Gate, was previously called what name?
And that's for $20 worth of Pepe's food or Waco Tanks, DVD, Historic Transportation, whatever. Hey, we're going to do this now whether we like it or not. What's that phone number?
915-544-5876, 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Tackle even the toughest landscaping or excavating jobs with the SK850 Mini Skid Steer from Ditch Witch Sales and Service in El Paso. The SK850 features the industry's greatest power and lifting capacity, and Ditch Witch durability is built into every machine they make. Ditch Witch now sells subsite electronics that are compatible with most other drill rigs and are developed and manufactured along with all Ditch Witch products right here in the USA. Call 821-4477 or 800-444-7569 for Ditch Witch Sales and Service. 10033 Railroad Drive, just north of Loop 375 in Northeast El Paso.
Hey, your microphone's blowing up. You might want to get it.
Thanks to Spreaker, now your cell phone is a microphone, giving you the power to broadcast your world to the rest of the world. Spreaker lets you pre-record podcasts or host your own radio shows live from your computer or phone with guests and live callers. And it's all free. Just go to Spreaker.com, set up an account, and you're ready to record. That's Spreaker.com. It's time to broadcast your life at Spreaker.com.
Coming home to an empty house is so sad. Whether you're single, empty nesters, or new to the area, a small wet nose can change that. You'll be amazed how a pet from the Humane Society will fill your home and your heart. The Humane Society of El Paso, open for adoptions 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, and Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 5. Come on over. Your new best friend is waiting for you at 4991 Fred Wilson. It's the Humane Society of El Paso.
The sizzle of a steak on the grill. The crashing of waves on the beach.
and whatever that is. At iHeartMedia, we have harnessed the power of sound in a way that can help you expand your reach to a new group of target customers and grow your business through customized and effective advertising. Big or small, local, regional, or national, our iHeartMedia consultants are ready to help. Call 844-BUY-RADIO or go to iHeartMedia.com.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And by Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria at 4017 North Mesa. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
History lessons coming up in January. They're everywhere. The Harvey Girls of El Paso, Texas, meeting Monday, January 11. That would be the next Monday that occurs here in this town, right?
Yes, it
Union
will.
Passenger Station Depot, 700 San Francisco Street, El Paso, Texas, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And the program is the Harvey Houses of Texas. Patricia Kidney will do the honors of presenting that. Visitors are welcome. Call her up, 591-2326. What is a Harvey House? We've done that show.
That's right.
Also, Southwest Chapter of Railway and Locomotive Historical Society, Monday, January 11th. Also, they're going to meet at Tosca. Good old Tosca, 7 to 8 p.m. They figured out Tosca has a nice little meeting room and has a beer
food.
On the wall thing. And
yeah, yeah,
all
we
set
like
there. So go get involved in that if you wish. The program is Connecticut Yankee Soldiers Ride the Railroads to the Southwest to Chase Pancho Villa. And that was it'll be presented by Rick Brightman. Same phone number, 591-2326.
Well, and also we're still talking history here. Go to the El Paso Corral the Westerners event Friday, January 15th at the Country Inn and Suites at 900 Sunland Park. Used to be the old Holiday Inn. And that's going to be from 6 to 9 p.m. And their program this month is Vignettes of El Paso's Wild Women, presented by Bob Chessy. I'm wondering why it's a guy that's presenting this, why it isn't a woman telling the story.
Why are they men gynecologists?
Yeah,
go there.
Yeah. Cost of dinner and program is $20, and you can RSVP to 915-759-9538 by Monday, January 11th, which is coming up. And also, you can also call Patricia at 591-2326, and visitors, it's open to everyone, and it's a great group, and they do some great programming.
One other announcement just like that that she should probably put in the future is the El Paso County Historical Commission meeting on Monday. This Monday, it's 11:30. It's at the bank, and we'll give you better details next hour, but that's another history thing going on Monday. All right, we ask a question. What was it, trivia-wise?
The Fort Bliss Gate, now known as the Buffalo Soldier Gate, was previously called by what name?
All right, we got a guy named Michael on the phone here. Michael, I presume you know the answer to this one?
I do, because I was here when they changed it. It used to be called the Robert E. Lee Gate.
Yes, indeed. And were you at the ceremony?
No, I wasn't able to attend, but I read a little bit about it, but I never did get the reason what was the change, so... I wouldn't be able to answer that part of the question.
I'm not sure about... No, we're not going to ask you what the reason was. That's buried somewhere in somebody's brain. But the details are on YouTube. We video recorded that entire ceremony as the brass changed from one name to another for that area. And they did that right at the statue there. And it was an interesting thing to see. So there you have that. You have got yourself $20 of a coupon to where, Melissa?
They are Pepe's New Mexican Food at 6761 Donovan Drive in beautiful Upper Valley.
Michael, you know where that is?
I think I know about where it is. I've never been there, but I think I know where it is.
Oh, well, you will enjoy it.
Here's the reason you should check it out. It's an historic set of recipes. This is old New Mexico traditional Mexican food, but they kept the recipes from way back at the Griggs Restaurant. It's good stuff. It's in a strip mall, but that's what they got. But the food... is authentic. All right, now you know what this means. We always have two questions, and there's nobody behind you who called in and thinks they know this stuff. So we're going to ask you a second question, and you have a choice actually of the Pepe's $20 or Waco Tanks DVD or another $20 to Pepe. So you got three prizes here potential. One's a DVD, two are coupons. Second question, are you ready?
Ready?
Sure.
Name the bronze sculpture near the entrance of that gate.
When they had that ceremony, Michael, what was behind the guy talking? Go ahead.
The only sculpture I know is the sculpture of the Buffalo Soldiers. I don't remember what they called it.
Oh, you don't know the name. Okay, we're going to leave it out there and not give you the coupon because that's a very important name of that statue.
Yeah.
But you got the first $20. You all set for that? Don't hang up. Shelly will come on and tell you how to pick up that coupon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.
I got to reach out. Thank you very much. Now, they labeled all the phone lines, but not the hold button. And the next one, too, is the kill button.
I'm going
to be careful with that stuff there. Okay, so, Michael, there's still an outstanding question. What's the name of that? Don't say it, John.
I will keep mum. I will be quiet.
Well, you know what? If they don't win it, we'll give you the coupon.
Okay.
See, he can handle that. So let's just leave it out there for the moment.
Okay, for we want to know is name the bronze sculpture near the entrance of that gate.
That's the question.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to have a winner.
I think so. $20 of food.
Oh, yes.
But see, John, it's a nice day out there, and quite often people listen to us in their cars. I can't call you. I'm driving on the freeway. Well, so, you know, that's how that works. But if you got that answer, it is the statue that we want to know. I almost said it. But that, and was it Bob Sneed that made that?
Yeah, it was Robert Sneed, the artist.
And we had him in here last summer talking about that.
He's a very well-known artist.
All right, we're going to talk to John Hamilton here about Buffalo soldiers in the area, as well as just general military history, because the military has pretty much driven kind of like what's gone on around here, in my estimation. You had a lot. We'll talk about the conflicts that were here in the neighborhood and what the military came in to do about it, why there were conflicts at all. These Indian guys, right?
Well, when the post was established here originally, the post opposite El Paso in 1849, one of the considerations was Indian depredations. And it wasn't so much that the Indians were attacking en masse the civilians. It was more that they were attacking targets of opportunity and taking the livestock. And if you read some of the records back then, some of the journals, some of the records, you realize that they were coming in all the time and just running the livestock off, and they needed someone to protect the livestock and to protect the settlers from these depredations. So that was really the issue up to the Civil War. And then, of course, during the Civil War, the Sibley Brigade came in here, the Army of New Mexico, all 3,000 of them, and went north. So that was kind of a sort of a detour until after the Sibley expedition was broken up at Glorieta. And then the problem returned to Indian depredations.
Depredations being shopping, like I call it, they came shopping in El Paso.
Oh, yes.
Who were they? Were they the Apaches?
Mescalero Apaches, the Chihin Apaches, the Chiricahuas to a degree. The Comanches were in the vicinity more to the north than they are here. But things reached a point whereby they had to have the troops out here to protect the settlers, to protect the livestock.
But it wasn't like they were coming from next door to come down to San Eli and take the horses. They were coming from the Ruidoso area.
Oh, yes.
These people could travel across the desert and the mountains with no problem.
Yes. Yeah.
How they did that is an amazing fact. Oh, but before we go to break here, we got some more trivial.
trivial callers.
All right, we got a guy on the phone here named Daryl. Daryl, we got you on the radio. What's happening, Daryl?
Jackson and Melissa and your guest speaker. I wanted to say the sculptor of that, the messenger was the name of the sculptor, and it was done by Jimmy Beaumont is the sculptor.
The original painting, I think, was Bob Sneed.
Yeah.
You're correct.
Yeah, he's right.
Well, thank you for that. Now, do you want to take a guess at the name? Didn't you win recently, Daryl?
Yes, I did.
Okay, we're not going to talk to you anymore, Daryl, about this trivia thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for correcting us.
That's quite right, but I have a question
sure.
that you may be going to get to it.
Okay, but just 1 second. Efren's on hold. Don't go away, Efren.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Stay right there.
Go ahead, Daryl.
I have a question as to the Buffalo Soldiers in terms of the number of Medal of Honor winners that there were, and where are some of the sculptures besides? I've seen one up at Fort Baird, and I was just wondering where they're keeping the different sculptures that were awarded. That were representing those that were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Y'all got sculptures?
I don't know about sculptures. My knowledge of that is rather limited. There is a sculpture, there is a bronze sculpture at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
There's something at Baird. I read about that.
And that's quite striking. If you're ever up there, if you ever get a chance to get on the post and get through the security and to go see that. That is quite a striking sculpture.
Daryl, you're saying that each of these Medal of Honor winners got their own sculpture?
Well, no, I don't know that for a fact. In fact, I'm sure they don't.
But maybe some did.
Because the number, there was quite a few, and I was, but I the number had escaped me, and I had, I do go up to Fort Baird, and I noted there was a sculpture there, and the reason I raised the question is Fort Baird has, the old Fort Baird has shut down, and I'm and there isn't any maintenance, and there doesn't seem to be, so I'm kind of concerned for what's there. That and that facility is wide open, and there's a national cemetery there, a national recognized cemetery, and but anyway, so I was just throwing it out there because if Fort Bliss or whoever pushes to Fort Leavenworth or wherever, I think they need to kind of do an assessment of where these different sculptures are at so that they don't get lost
or stolen or whatever, yeah.
All right, not a bad idea. Thanks for ringing up, dude.
Okay.
You take
her
easy. All right, we're going to take a break. Oh, we got Efren. Efren's on the phone. We've got to talk to Efren.
Good morning, Efren.
Do you have an answer, Efren, on the trivia question? Esteban. Esteban, I apologize. Esteban.
Hi, is it Henry O. Flipper?
Good guess, but not quite correct. Thank you for trying. Appreciate it. You take her easy. And we may have to just give that coupon to John Hamilton.
Yeah.
In fact, let's just award the coupon to John Hamilton. John Hamilton, what is the name of the sculptor?
The name of the statue.
The name of the statue.
I believe it is the Errand of Corporal Ross.
That is correct as I have it. And the man who inspired it with a painting was Bob Snead.
Yes.
And the other fellow told us who built the sculpture.
That's
there
right.
We are.
See, we got all of it covered.
Enough of all that. Now, did he go away? No, we didn't. We got him to John.
That's right.
There we are. Next event will be a commercial break, shall we?
I think so.
Call us up if you want to talk to John Hamilton.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Sample comes with a 90-day order. Copays and deductibles may apply.
If you or someone you care for are using painful urinary catheters, Medical Direct Club can help. There's a new catheter that hurts less, and you can get a free sample with free shipping by calling now. Pain and urinary tract infections can be avoided if you're using urinary catheters. The new disposable catheters from Medical Direct Club hurt less due to an incredible new design that reduces pain by gliding easily and effortlessly. Old catheters can scrape and cut, causing pain and infection. These new catheters from Medical Direct Club are changing the lives of people who use urinary catheters. Medicare and your insurance will pay for up to 200 of these new catheters per month at little or no cost to you. Medical Direct Club handles all of the paperwork with your doctor and includes lifetime free shipping when you join. Membership and a free sample are free, so call Medical Direct Club now. 1-800-600-3037. That's 1-800-600-3037. End painful cathing today. Call 1-800-600-3037.
Wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, a crashing economy. Are you ready? At best, your local stores have a 3-day supply of food. Will your family have to fight over what's left? Are you willing to gamble your family's safety that it'll never happen to you? Be wise and be ready with 25-year shelf life Wise Food Storage. Wise Food Storage provides affordable, ready-made gourmet meals with a super long 25-year shelf life. Meals like pasta Alfredo, cheesy lasagna, breakfast, dessert, drinks, and snacks. Just add water and your family is eating delicious food instead of fighting for scraps in a food riot. Try it free. Order a no-obligation free sample meal delivered right to your front door. And for a limited time, get a 10% discount and free shipping on all orders. Once done, you're set for 25 years. Be wise and be ready with Wise Food Storage. Call for your free sample now. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And by Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria at 4017 North Mesa. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We want to thank the crowd in the control room because they're the ones that make this happen. Shelley is the one in there. Miss Shelley Sutherland is taking the phone calls. And the other guy, Sergio Valenzuela.
The brains of it all.
And I'm expecting you to have a crowd in there like you normally do. That's great. There's so many people in there, I can't see where they are.
It's brunch time. They're all in there.
There are announcements to be made here about various things. There's a new website, ElPasoCountyHistory.com. Mm-hmm. That's a biggie for the County Historical Commission. And that is sort of like a labor of love. They paid some money, but a lot of love went into that thing. And it's a very interesting website to take a look at what's going on. ElPasoCountyHistory.com. So take a look at that when you can. Also, Francisco Villa, there is an exhibit on display at the downtown El Paso Public Library, and it's covering the life of Francisco Villa, Mexico's most well-known revolutionary. All the month of January, February, Public Library downtown, 501 North Oregon. It's free. You can call the guy that put it together and talk to him about it. It is Fred Morales, 307-3748. And if you don't have enough Fred Morales yet, tomorrow night, News Extra, KVIA Television, ABC 7, Fred Morales and a guy named Jackson Polk will be sitting there talking about El Paso history on TV. And Maria Garcia, she called me up and says, hey, you want to come do it? I got nothing to do at 10:30 on Sunday night.
She likes history. That's a good thing.
Well, this is good. And so Fred and I will sit there and talk about El Paso history with Maria tomorrow evening.
And what we've got going on is a Concordia Cemetery. We are continuing these ghost tours all through all kinds of weather out there. Tonight, January 9th, from 9 to 11 p.m., you can experience the hauntings of Concordia Cemetery. And you can apply some of your knowledge here as to what with Concordia with the Buffalo Soldiers, because we've got the Buffalo Soldiers Memorial out there, as well as we have a sign at the veterans section in the cemetery that talks about Camp Concordia. So, you know, come on, bring your cameras out there, be a ghost hunter, and learn about the history, mystery, and lore of this historic landmark. Tickets are only $15 a person, and the proceeds go to the cemetery for restoration and preservation purposes. Meet at the Yandel Street entrance at 8:30 p.m. and children.
Yandel,
street. Okay. Ages 13 and up. Children must be accompanied by an adult over 21. So call 274-9531 or go to help at ghost915.com for more information.
They need help.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about some things here. Next hour, we're going to get into the Buffalo Soldiers at Embrio Basin. Barbara Given Bainey, bless her heart, she's been putting maps on Facebook. She's been putting descriptions of the whole thing on Facebook. Oh, and Carl Lombaugh is the guy who did the work up there to figure out what the battle was. We're going to talk about him next hour. In the meantime, we got more Fort Bliss stuff to talk about here in El Paso. John Hamilton, you retired as a what rank, sir?
I was a lieutenant colonel of infantry.
Infantry.
When I retired.
And now yes. What are you?
What am I now?
You're a director.
I am a civilian.
Yeah, but you're a director level.
I am the director of the 1st Armored Division in Fort Bliss Museum.
You call it that? It's not Fort Bliss Museum and 1st Armored?
You have
two museums.
There were two museums. We are now just one museum.
Okay.
And we incorporated all of the history of Fort Bliss, plus we now include the history of the 1st Armored Division, to include some rather large artifacts, that is, tanks.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
But did you get lots of
memories?
Them.
Yes, yeah, we do. Yeah.
In fact,
we just redid an Iraqi Republican Guard T-72 tank. It's a Russian tank that had been sitting out for some years and was in pretty bad shape. That thing is now all cleaned up. It probably looks better than it did when the Iraquis took it from
but you don't have
any
Russians.
That was from the Republican Guard, correct?
Yes, and we brought it inside. So it is inside next to the M1 tank.
Was it from Desert Storm? Or
yes.
Was it okay.
Yes, captured by the 1st Armored Division in Desert Storm.
In the 90s.
You take the bullets out of these things, right?
Oh, yes.
You really don't call that a bullet, although it looks like a bullet. the shells that go
there. Projectile, shell.
It's a great big bullet.
That is one big bullet.
It is a big bullet.
Do those things explode on impact? They got that kind of technology in them.
There are different types of rounds. Yeah. There are some rounds that will pass through a tank called Sabo rounds, and then there are some that are high explosive that will penetrate the tank.
You got all kinds of stuff out there.
We've got all kinds of stuff.
Let's back up like 100 years and change to the era that we were talking about earlier when Fort Bliss was formed in El Paso. You had the Concordia area and the conditions at the time. You were describing some of those during the break. It wasn't really a good idea you couldn't be too healthy that way, could you?
Concordia was away from the river. It was on land leased from rancher Hugh Stevenson. It had a rectangular parade ground. It had two large barracks on one side and six sets of officers' quarters on the other, all of which was made by adobe and all built with soldier.
We don't have that in the record.
By troop labor, soldiers that built those things.
Well, where were they? Do you know offhand on the current overlay of what is Concordia, where they would have been?
Oh, yes.
Where?
Do you of course, know where the you know where the cemetery is.
Yeah.
You know where the spaghetti bowl is.
Yeah.
If you go down under the spaghetti bowl, there is a plaque there, and that's where the post was.
What mm-hmm. kind of plaque?
It's a bronze plaque.
Yeah, it's a historical plaque. There.
But the commission did that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Long
under
time
the spaghetti
ago.
Bowl.
Right.
I got to go find that.
Right.
I don't know. I've got pictures of it.
Okay.
And the buildings were, of course, they were adobe. They were heated by fireplace. They were cooled by, you open the door in the summertime.
Yeah. Good luck.
They had dirt floors. They had dirt roofs. The ceilings in the buildings were about 14 feet high. Water was brought up from the river. There was no well there. So you would go down to the river, draw water out of the river, bring it up, put it into barrels behind the barracks, and let the silt settle out, and then you would drink it or make coffee with it.
But the bugs and whatever else was in the water were still there.
Yeah. So you can imagine that
dysentery, you said?
Typhoid was there, dysentery was there, malaria from the mosquitoes was there. So it was pretty rough. There were no bathing facilities. Where do you get firewood around here?
Uh-huh.
Pretty scarce.
Okay, what kind of wonderful meals did they eat, John? It was like a gourmet meal for the soldiers?
The rations included things like sugar, flour,
coffee,
and usually that was coffee beans, whole beans that had to be roasted before they could be crushed and made into coffee, and free-range beef, and then whatever they could either purchase from around here or whatever they could grow in their own garden. And they did have a garden, but it wasn't, as you would imagine, very productive.
Where'd the food come from generally? You said it came from San Antonio and Santa Fe.
Yes, supplies had to come from Fort Sam Houston via Fort Davis from San Antonio. And remember, there's no railroad, so all of this is brought by wagon. Or it came from up Santa Fe and north of Santa Fe from Fort Union across from Fort Leavenworth on the Santa Fe Trail.
Wow.
So, and all of it was brought by horse or oxen-drawn wagon.
So that's the kind of conditions you had at the Concordia area of Fort Bliss in
1868 to 1877.
Okay.
And in 1877, the Army came to the conclusion that there was a lot less Indian activity or bandit activity around here. So in 1877, the Army closed Concordia, Fort Bliss at Concordia. And for a year, there was no post in Fort Bliss, or there was no Fort Bliss post. There was no post in El Paso. There was a small detachment of soldiers that was still here. But, of course, in 1877, you had what? You had the Salt War.
Salt War.
At San Elizario.
Let's listen to that story, because all of a sudden it hit the fan in San L.A., and they needed some troops.
Well, there were some entrepreneurs, some say some reprobates, who had taken over some land out at on the salt flats at the Guadalupe Mountains.
Oh, yes.
And people had been getting salt from there for many years for nothing, and now they were going to charge for it. which made the locals rather incensed, and they took out their vexation by essentially doing in the locals that had perpetrated this, yes, and throwing their carcasses down a well. And then they took to looting some of the other establishments in the area. The
Texas Rangers showed up for a while. They got killed.
Texas Rangers surrendered, and it's the only time the Texas Rangers surrendered in their history.
Long story short, the same bureaucrat who said, well, we don't need troops down there, said, oh, well, now we need troops down there.
The Secretary of the Army.
That's the guy I'm talking about.
Yes. The Secretary of War, rather, ordered Colonel Edward Hatch, who was commanding the 9th Cavalry Regiment in New Mexico, to come in and settle this once and for all. So Colonel Hatch brought in 9th Cavalry troopers from Fort Bayard and Fort Stanton and some other posts. So now you had troop after troop of scowling black cavalrymen riding into town. And at that point, shall we say, the insurgents decided that the better part of valor would be to just stop.
Disappear.
So a lot of them did disappear into Mexico, and a lot of them never came back.
And Fort Bliss was then reestablished, and it never left.
Reestablished in 1878. For about a year, they were downtown around the plaza in rented buildings at an exorbitant cost of $2,500 a year.
Wow.
So after that,
I'll rent them the plaza now cheaper.
Yes.
As a matter of fact.
So the Army decided that they needed to establish a more permanent post. So
here they came.
They purchased land from the Simeon Hart family.
That's right. They went over and made that happen.
And built Hart's Mill along the river.
When we come back from this break, let's tell us what happened then, because they ended up out on La Noria Mesa, did they not?
They did indeed.
Call us up if you think you want to.
915-544-5876. 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
It's not fair. If you suffer from hearing loss, you have two choices. Wear a hearing aid that makes you look old, or miss out on what's going on around you. That's completely unfair. You deserve a better choice. That's why we're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. We'll even give you free shipping and free batteries for life. Call us now, 1-800-500-0409. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may forget you're wearing it too. You deserve to hear everything more clearly again for free with a 100% free in-home trial, free shipping, and free batteries for life. For free information, call now, 1-800-500-0409. That's 1-800-500-0409. 1-800-500-0409.
You've heard you should aim to have a nest egg of $600,000 to $1.5 million to comfortably retire, or basically 10 to 12 times your current income. That can be scary when the stock market can cut your nest egg in half just like that. Well, you don't have to be scared. We've got the solution. Options Animal is offering a proven six-step guide to investing absolutely free. It'll help you make consistent income from the stock market, whether the market is up, down, or sideways, building and protecting your retirement. For you and your family.
With Options Animal, I feel like I can survive any market they throw at me. I have complete financial independence.
Not only will you discover proven methods to generate consistent income, but you'll also discover backup plans to protect yourself if your stocks are going the wrong way. To claim your free six-step guide to investing today, simply go to sixstepinvesting.com and enter your email address. That's sixstepinvesting.com. Get your guide today for free by going to sixstepinvesting.com. Again, that's sixstepinvesting.com.
Wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, a crashing economy. Are you ready? At best, your local stores have a 3-day supply of food. Will your family have to fight over what's left? Are you willing to gamble your family's safety that it'll never happen to you? Be wise and be ready with 25-year shelf life Wise Food Storage. Wise Food Storage provides affordable, ready-made gourmet meals with a super long 25-year shelf life. Meals like pasta Alfredo, cheesy lasagna, breakfast, dessert, drinks, and snacks. Just add water and your family is eating delicious food instead of fighting for scraps in a food riot. Try it free. Order a no-obligation free sample meal delivered right to your front door. And for a limited time, get a 10% discount and free shipping on all orders. Once done, you're set for 25 years. Be wise and be ready with Wise Food Storage. Call for your free sample now. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244.
At iHeartMedia, we've harnessed the power of sound in a way that can help you expand your reach to a new group of target customers and grow your business through customized and effective advertising. Call 844-BUY-RADIO or go to iHeartMedia.com.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And by Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria at 4017 North Mesa. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we got a couple of minutes here in this hour. We got John Hamilton up until noon, so don't go away. Next hour, we're going to talk about the Battle of Embry-O Basin. And right now, we got a couple things to tell you about the El Paso Archaeological Society. Featured speaker next week, January 16th, 2 p.m., Johnny Price, Jornada Research
Joan
Institute.
Price.
Joan E. Price. John E. I mean, you know, maybe it's one of those Bruce Jenner things. No, it's not. Joan, sorry about that. Speaking on ancient Mesoamerica imagery. They found them up there at Three Rivers. So this is going to be way cool. And what else did she find? You know, jaguars up there as well.
Yeah, the collared jaguar. Images are Mesoamerican image associated with ritual warfare and royalty. The implications of this finding will be explored in detail during this talk. EPAS, of course, was founded in 1922. They were in here last week talking. And again, their membership's open to individuals and organizations interested in anthropology, archaeology, and the preservation of prehistoric and historic cultural resources. And the best place to reach them now is not their website. It's their Facebook page, which is the El Paso Archaeological Society. Or give Fernando Arias a call at 449-9075.
Good stuff. Quick question here we got. Maybe not a quick question. You never know with George Sanchez. Good morning, George. How's it going? Hello, George.
Oh, there you are. I'm sorry.
Wake up.
I'm sorry. I know you're going on a break. I just have 2 cents worth of the Salt Wars in San Luis Audio.
Please.
You know I'm that highly paid volunteer on Fridays at Los Portales Museum.
Triple pay. Yes, you are.
Okay, I show a video that talks about the salt wars, but after it finishes, I like to tell people that I used to think that the salt was just used for home use, table salt and so forth. Well, El Borrego was found out that the salt was actually sold by the people to the miners in Mexico.
It's part of the copper process, yes.
Yeah, they mix it with mercury and to extract ore for silver from the rocks and so forth. I didn't know if anybody there knew that, but I thought I would insert my 2 cents worth.
Well, we appreciate that. Let me give you some change back. It's really an interesting thing that they did that, because what happened with the salt was they did indeed use it in the process of mining. And so a whole lot of that salt went on the table, but not much of it compared to what went into mining, is what I understand.
Yeah, and that's the reason that they fought over the salt.
Well, yeah, this guy shows up and he has a natural resource everybody's been using. Oh, no, that's mine. No, it ain't. So that's what happened, salt war. All right, George, we got to talk about that more, because that salt war should be a movie of what happened in that valley. It's a huge piece of the history. All right, we're gone now, George. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you next hour.
Okay.
Very good. And the thing about the salt war, it is a huge piece of the history. And that is the reason they put the soldiers back at Fort Bliss.
That's right.
So you got to look at the old, we're not worried about Indians anymore. Oh, what is this salt thing we get created here? So life in the fast lane, John Hamilton. We're going to talk more after the news about the stuff. Well, you got the history moment coming.
Yes,
that'll be good. But after that, we're also going to get into the Battle of Embry-O Basin. Now, Embry-O with an H, that is on the White Sands Missile Range.
That's right.
and it was never looked at as a battle until after the missile range had already secured the perimeter. They didn't really know it was there.
It's fairly pristine even today. And of course, it is on restricted federal property. So the Hembrio Basin, it's very hard to get to.
That's the point. And that's why the battlefield is still kind of in original form.
Yes.
when they got a hold of it at White Sands Archaeology. We'll talk about that because we know the archaeologist that took that on. Great battle out there. Interesting history. Next hour, we'll see you here.
I'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Sargent Home and Business Inventories by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And by Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria at 4017 North Mesa. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.